Senator Ryan, it's a blessing to be here this morning in this worship service and all the truths and challenges that we have received. Think of the just the blessing of unity and brotherhood and all that means to us in relation to the ongoing work of the church. You know, it's not tested when we're all in agreement, but our unity is tested when we don't see it the same. And that's where we have to apply the principles of Holy Spirit power in our lives to come to Spirit-directed consensus. Certainly glad also for each one of you here this morning. Nice to have a lot of visitors. God bless you for coming and sharing with us. We're also glad that Joe Warricks could be here with us this morning. Maybe Trisha's mom is here. Brother Joe, they're from Missouri, from the Lamont congregation. Be a part of Bethel Fellowship, which we enjoy a close relationship in the Western Fellowship with them. Brother Joe has been part of some of the history of Western Fellowship, so we appreciate that. And he consented to bring the message this morning, so look forward to that. The closing words of that last song we sang, that we would be quick and glad to do the things we've heard. And I just thought of that in relation to hearing the Word of God preached to us. We are always quick and glad to respond to that in a positive way. All right, before the message, let's just stand for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit who is here with us today in this audience, in this group. We thank you for the power of the Scriptures, the truths that have already come to us, and the challenges we have received. We thank you this morning for the privilege of being here and the blessing of each one being here in this audience. And we pray your blessing upon Brother Joe now as he shares with us from your truth, from your word, and may our hearts be open to receive and respond to that. We ask in the name of Christ. Amen.
Christian greetings this morning in the name of Christ, the one who is supreme. And often think of Jesus, the one who walked the dusty trails of Galilee in the dust, in humility, wanting to serve his master, his Lord, always doing the will of the Father. Happy to be here this morning with you. I would have been glad to sit and listen, but George called me several weeks ago and wondered if I would share this morning. We'll try to do that in the for God's praise and glory. It's kind of a new thing for me to be in this area. I've enjoyed our time here this week, spending time with Joe and Trish and their family and the rest as we met some of you yesterday out at the building site. So maybe we continue to serve the Lord together. It's not our work, it's the Lord's work. Appreciated also the lesson on unity. I think our memory verse was one of the keys to victory. When we are kindly affectioned one to another, in honor preferring one another, we'll go a long ways. And if you haven't been tested already, you will be tested in church building, physically. Because there may be some things that someone thinks should be done that you may not agree with. Just remember, be kindly affectionate one to another and prefer others. Well, this morning we'd like to look at an aspect I was led to think of youth, actually. So I'm kind of happy of all the youth that are here. But, you know, there's parents that are involved as well with youth. I simply entitled it, The Challenge of Youth in the Kingdom of God. Turn me to Proverbs chapter 3. I'd like to use two verses here as the in the onset as kind of a springboard for some of the thoughts we'd like to share this morning. Youth is a blessed time. It's a special time in home life, in the church life, in many various aspects of life in itself. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path, thy paths. It's a call to, as youth, to always remember who you're living for, what you're focusing upon, what is before in life. Trust in the Lord with all thy might, with all thine heart, and don't lean into your own understanding. Now, it's very easy, and I went through that myself. There's a few things you learn. There was a time in life in youthhood that you think you know everything. And that's not all wrong. Youth is a time of vitality. Youth is a time of exercising yourself in the abilities of what you can do physically and also in many other ways. But trust in the Lord. Put him foremost and of utmost in your walk of life. And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Youth is also a time of wondering what will be tomorrow, what will be ahead for my life. Maybe life's companion. Maybe job opportunities. There's a lot of things that come into focus in youthhood. Someone has asked the question, which is the most difficult time of human life? Is it in infancy? Is it in adolescence? Mature adulthood or agedness? What is it? Well, it probably depends upon where you are in life, of how you might answer that question. There's difficult times in all of life's experiences. It's not all easy. It's not all a bed of roses. It's not always the easiest thing to do. And sometimes it's very frustrating in life. Youthhood could be that. A frustrating time in life. Because you're trying to analyze, you're trying to go to your pursuits, as it were. You're trying to learn new things. And so a parent maybe is trying to kind of control that and various aspects. And so it can be a frustrating time in life. It's that period in life when one is hardly old enough to be on his own, and yet he is feeling a sense of independence. And that's not wrong in itself. I believe that God expects that of us. Sometimes youth is attempting to find your identity. And sometimes that's why they act and do things the way they do. They're trying to find their identity. Maybe they want to be identified as someone that is different from the norm. Peer pressure can enter in. Youthhood is a time of life that is very good and yet very hard at times. It's a time of danger. It's a time of challenges. The scripture records back in Genesis that the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Youthhood also faces a lot of tests and temptations. I think sometimes the devil uses youth. Or let me put it this way. If the devil can overthrow a youth in the prime of life, then he's conquered a lot. So don't heed to his call. Don't heed to what the devil may bring into your life. But it is a time of challenges. In the New Testament, in 2 Timothy 2:22, the Apostle Paul, being inspired of God, admonished Timothy to flee youthful lusts. So there again, the devil puts a lot of temptations before us and a lot of youthful lusts that come to bear. And there again is why we need faithful parents who are there to help them through that time and to shield them from some of that. And so there's guidelines that are set. But by way of contrast to that, I'd like to dwell more on the challenge of youth. I believe that God recognizes the value of youth to his divine cause. Youth have energy. There's a lot of things your youth can do that I can no longer do as an older person. The opportunities that are there. Maybe to teach school. Maybe to go to mission work. Maybe to do this or do that in the Lord's work, whatever it may be. And so there's energy. Your heart is filled with visions of the future. And your youthhood can be the most valuable component in the service of Jesus Christ. Turn me over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I'd like to read a few verses there in relation to youthhood. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, in verse 1, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now is the time to remember your Creator in your youth. Don't spurn away the day of grace. Don't close the door to God's call. Be open to his call. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. There's a lot of potential there. There's a lot of good there. And don't just throw it away. Many a person, when they became older in life, has looked back on their youth with regret. But then there's also many who have looked back with joy, thanking God that they had godly parents who kind of helped them guide through those troublesome years. Godly parents who were there to help them and to lend advice to the questions that may have come. So remember now in thy youth, thy Creator. Now go back to the former chapter in chapter 11. It also says, has something to say about youth. Chapter 11, verse 9 of Ecclesiastes says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. So it's a good time. Rejoice in that. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. We need to remember, in the midst of joy, in the midst of a good time in youth, in youthhood of vibrancy, remember, someday we're going to give an account of how that I lived my life. And so we want to have good intentions, good goals in our youth, and rejoice in that. Don't look at your youth as, in your youthful years, as a time that everybody's trying to hold me back, or I'm so restricted. But rejoice in that, whether good or bad times, as it were, or frustrating times. Look at it as a blessing from God, because now you have energy and you want to live for the Lord. Put away evil from thy flesh, the next verse says, or the 10th verse says there in Ecclesiastes 11. Remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. But then the Apostle Paul comes along also in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit and faith and purity. And don't allow others to be despising your youth. Live it for the Lord. Meet the challenge of youth in God's kingdom, in the life of the church. Many things you can do. And so youth is a wonderful resource in the kingdom of heaven if they walk in God's will. If there's no youth today, the church will die out eventually. And I've seen that happen in many different places that find the church simply died out because there was no youth that took on the work of God in that church life. But the Bible is full of examples of youth that were used in God's kingdom. And I'd like to dwell on some of that this morning. Of men and women who were useful in God's work as a youth. One of the first you probably think of is Joseph. A young man around 17 years of age, as the scripture points out. And I believe he's one of the sterling characters in the Old Testament of one who was focused upon God and put God first in his life. It wasn't always easy. We know what his brothers did because they were moved with envy against him. They sold him into Egypt. But remember, God was with him. And that's the key. Whatever you face in life as youth, remember that God wants to be with you. And he will be with you as you give him your allegiance. And so his brothers sold him down to Egypt. To those Ishmaelites that came by as he was down in the pit. And he went down into Egypt, a worldly kingdom, away from God's people, all alone. What would you have done? What would I have done? I don't know. But the challenge is there. Are you able to stand against the pressures that are about you? Maybe of worldly people, maybe of worldly friends. Are you able to stand against that? Are you stable? Do you have what it takes to be a child of God? That's the challenge that we want to focus on this morning. And as Joseph went down to Egypt, we know how that he was sold to a man by the name of Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. And we know what happened after that, how Potiphar's wife cast her evil eye upon Joseph, and she attempted to seduce him. But he had firm resolve. Why? Because he was focusing on God. And he seen God is going to see everything I do. Why should I succumb to lust or evil things, thinking that I can hide from God? But we will not. God knows everything that goes on. There's nothing hidden from him. He simply said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And that's where our focus needs to be as youth. Focus on God. And it will help you when you face the tests and temptations of life. A young man, a young lad, in a strange land, separated from his people, and his center of religious strength probably. Yet he was faithful to God. How inspiring that is. And God used Joseph because of his faithfulness and his lineage carried on through, even to the time of Christ. Because of his faithfulness. He was a providential instrument for the preservation of the Hebrew nation at that time. And what was Joseph's words at the end? When his brothers came down finally and he exposed himself to his brothers and told them who he was, he said, God sent me. You didn't send me down here. Yes, you sold me. But God sent me down here to help to preserve life, the people of Israel. Yes, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to save many lives. And that's what happens, youth, when you focus on God. you may feel sometimes, well, it's because of this or because of that, or maybe because of a parent that I'm where I'm at. I don't have a chance. I don't have an opportunity. Focus on God. God will carry you through regardless what you face in life. God entrusted to a teenager to accomplish a vital role in his work in the people of Israel. Next one I'd like to look back at is Miriam. We know Miriam in Scripture, the sister of Moses. The people of Israel, the Hebrews, were multiplying in the land of Egypt, and they were perceived as a threat to the stability of that nation. And so the king ordered, kill all the male babies. Get rid of these people. Throw them into the Nile River when they're born. But by faith, the scripture says, the parents of Moses, his mother, his father, they hid him for a while. But you can only hide it so long. A child grows up. They hid him for 3 months. And then they placed him in that little vessel, put him out in the water there. But there was Miriam watching. God used Miriam, a young girl. I don't know how old she was. Some historians think maybe 13 years of age, give or take. But there she was, watching. And when that maid came along, the king, she took up the child. And Miriam was there as an instrument, as young as she was, and obtained Jochebed, her mother, as a nurse for the child. We say, oh, the ways of providence. But God had it all planned because someone was faithful. Youth, remember, your faithfulness will accomplish much for the kingdom of God as you're faithful to him. So walk with him. Walk with God. David is another example. We all know the story of David. And many times we're thrilled to that story. How he killed Goliath, a young man. You know, there was Israel on one side of the valley, and there was the Philistines on the other side of the valley. And here was that Goliath that came out day after day for 40 days, the scripture says, and defied God. But here was David, a youth, a young man, that said, that can't be right. For someone to be defying my God, he had his trust and he had his faith in God. The Israelites, they were all in fear. But David took up the challenge. Others looked upon David as a youth. Oh, you're just a youth. You're no good. You can't do anything in the face of that Goliath. Even King Saul, initially, he disdained David as a youth. And even his brothers disdained him. But remember, God was with the youth. God was with David. And Goliath was slain. And they overthrew the Philistine army at that point. And there again, that was a turning point in the history of Israel because of one faithful youth. Take up the challenge. Be faithful to the Lord. Again, we see how the Lord invested in youth. And the cause of triumph, the cause of truth was triumph because someone was faithful. Take up the challenge, youth. Another character I have is Josiah. This young man, Josiah, does anyone remember? How old was Josiah when he became king? Was he 40 years old? Was he 50 years old? Anyone? 8 years old. Say, well, that's pretty young. But he had a mother that helped him for a while. But he was 8 years old when he came to the throne. By the time he was 16, according to scripture, He was seeking Jehovah, his God. He was going after God. He was seeking him. And by the time he turned 20, he initiated a campaign to purge the kingdom of its idolatry. What can youth do? They can do tremendously in God's work, in the church, when they are faithful. By the time he was 26, he arranged for repairs in the temple. A lot of things began to happen. And he found a copy of the Law of Moses during that time. It was discovered in the temple. And he brought back morals into God's people, the people of Israel, because of his faithfulness. And a reformation was proclaimed. And he restored the Passover, which hadn't been observed since the days of the judges, Scripture points out. But again, it was youth. A youth that was faithful to the Lord. Never pass over that lightly. Youth, this morning, it doesn't matter where you come from. Sometimes youth will say, well, I just didn't have opportunity. And I just didn't have a chance. You know, I'm my dad. You know, my mom. And they have all kinds of excuses. It's not where you came from. It's where you're going. Where you're looking to, where you're focusing upon. As youth, focus upon the Lord. And God will place confidence in you, just like he did these others. And then I think of Jeremiah, often referred to as a great weeping prophet. You know, when he began his ministry and God called him, he didn't think he could do anything. I'm but a youth. I can't accomplish anything. But he continued faithful to the Lord. And God used him because of his faithfulness and many others. And then I think of Mary, the mother of Jesus. In my studies, I'm not sure how old she was, but I don't think she was out of her teens when she had Jesus. According to Jewish tradition and what some historians think. But she had a spiritual depth, Mary did. And we read about that in Scripture. In Luke, you read about that. For she said, as she went to meet Elizabeth, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. That was her meditation. She was rejoicing in the Lord. She was magnifying the Lord. Just as a young girl, she was doing that in her teens. And so it's entirely possible. She might have been 19, she might have been 20, I don't know. But she was faithful in her youth. And God chose, out of all the young girls, he chose her to bring about the birth of Jesus Christ. And that speaks volumes to me how that God trusts spiritually minded youth. God gives opportunities when we are faithful to him in our walk of life. Then I think of Timothy, yet as an example. Timothy was a young man, but he was close to the Apostle Paul. Evidently, he probably was converted under Paul's preaching. But during Paul's missionary journeys after that, Timothy was with him as a young man. In fact, Paul says at one point, I have no man like-minded who will care truly for your state. When later he sent Timothy over to the Philippian people. But Timothy was faithful. Give diligence, take heed. It was to Timothy that he spoke about being pure, living a pure life. Timothy was one who later came into leadership role in the church because of his faithfulness as a youth. And that's the blessing. We don't always know our future, but God does. And so it's important, youth, be faithful right where you are. Don't look too far down the road and think, well, yeah, when I get another 10 years in my life, then I can be useful for the Lord. God wants you today. faithfulness today will generate within you that desire to be faithful in the future, whatever the Lord has for you. So be faithful to Him. We see through those examples what youth can do when they are focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We could look at others. Just a few examples even later. There was a preacher one time back in the 1800s that came to Alabama to conduct a gospel meeting for a week. And he gives his experience of meeting up with a 12-year-old boy, a little black-eyed boy. This boy was waiting at the back of the church after the service, barefooted, hands in his pockets, eyes and mouth open to get a glimpse of the big preacher he had heard tell of. When the preacher walked out, he turned aside and he took the little boy's hand, 12-year-old boy's hand, and began a friendship with him. That little boy grew up because of that friendship, because someone noticed him. It sparked an interest in him for the things of the Lord. And later he became a great respected preacher and writer who wrote several books. F.D. Sergely was his name. This little boy, youth, again, God uses what we give to Him. God will entrust to us as we give our all to Him, as we focus on Him. There was another one in a gospel tent meeting. A young lad. The preacher came to him. His name was Bill Tyner. And he asked the little boy, "What does Jesus mean to you?" He said, "Jesus means everything to me." And this man, Bill Tyner, later went and wrote the beautiful hymn, "He is My Everything." Simply a spark that came to him from the life of a youth, of a young man. Youth, you can accomplish great things for the Master as you're faithful to Him. Youth who walk and obey the will of God in their life. May we never overlook the potential that is right within us as individuals. It's not us. We're not great, but God is great. He is our everything. And He lives within our hearts as we dedicate our hearts and lives to our Master. And God will and can use us mightily when we are available. And I know sometimes in youthhood, I went through that myself. You know, what can I do? I'm just but an individual. You know, what can I do? Well, it's not what we can do, it's what God can do in and through us as we are faithful to Him. And God will do that when we look to Him. So again, trust the Lord and lean not on thine own understanding. Give Him your all. Give Him your best. In youth is the best time to give to the Master. Don't wait till you're older. Don't spawn away those years in living for self, but live for the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be blessed. You'll be an asset in your home and in the church and wherever God may lead you, whether here or beyond, where it may be, maybe on the other side of the earth. We don't know. But God loves to use youth that are faithful to Him. Never forget that. Always live for Him. And a blessing it is to godly parents who have youth, who desire to follow in their footsteps because they are faithful to the Lord. And so may God grant to us that blessing, that inspiration, and that challenge to live for the Lord. Shall we kneel for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we come to You again this morning's hour, thanking you for the blessings of life. And Lord, I just pray for our youth here today and throughout the world. We pray, Lord, bless their lives. Keep them in thy sacred nearness. Keep them from the evils of our day that are out there to try to destroy us. The evil one is there ever to tempt us, to lead us astray. And so we pray for godly parents who are faithful in guiding their youth to live for you. And help each one to look to you as the author and the finisher of our faith. Bless this congregation and the witness in this community. Bless their lives from day to day as they faithfully serve and follow you. And may you lead us through life for your praise and glory. May our lives reflect the image of Jesus to those that we come in contact with. And so again, just guide our every step for your praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.